Today is Wednesday, May 2nd, or Lamed Gimel Ba'Omer. This is the women's Mishnah, or Gemara Shir. We're in the middle of the 8th Perek of Maseches Chulin. And we start a new sugya on Daf Kuf Yudalet Amud Beis.
Okay, Rabbi Tai. We're going to start a new sugya. We touched upon this at the very beginning of our study of the 8th Perek of Chulin. But here there will be a different presentation, and we will see both of them tonight and see why two Amoraim could not agree with one another. That's a question you can ask 60,000 times on one page in the Gemara. And I want to welcome back Naomi. Special welcome, having contributed a kidney. Spectacular. Really very nice. Saved somebody's life. Okay. We are, if you take page one of the handout, it's Kuf Yudalet Amud Beis, Amar Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi is going to ask a question, and I'm waiting for you to scream out the answer or the question on Rav Ashi. Amar Rav Ashi, Minayin Lebasar Becholav She'asur Ba'achila. How do I know that you are not permitted to eat meat and milk that have been cooked in one another? So I'm going to go to sleep until you give me the question that you have to ask. How do we know?
It's in the Torah. You can't cook.
What's the question?
It doesn't say anything about eating. It says, lo tevasher. His question is, how do I know that you're not allowed to eat basa b'chalav, milk and meat that have been cooked together? But you know the answer already. No.
It says in the Chumash.
It doesn't say in the Chumash.
Lo tivashel.
Good. And they say, why does it?
It says three times. Lo tivashel gidi b'chalav imo. So we said many moons ago, once is to teach us that you're not allowed to cook, once that you're not allowed to eat when it has been cooked, and the third time that you are not permitted to derive benefit from basar b'chalav. Now that opinion which I shared with you right after Sukkot, when we started this particular parak, happens to be the source that has been circulated by the school of Rabbi Yishmael. So for a second, go to page number 2. And I bracketed it there, the relevant lines. Debei Rabbi Yishmael Tana. In the school of Rabbi Yishmael, it was learned. Lo tivashel gidi b'chalev imo gimul pe'amim. The Torah writes this phrase three times. Once in Parshat Mishpatim, the second time in Parshat Ki Tisa, and the third time in Parshat Re'eh. So he says, in effect he asks, why do I need one pasuk to be repeated three times to teach you the exact same thing? Therefore he says, Echad le'isur achila, ve'echad le'isur hana'a, ve'echad le'isur bishur. One is that you're not allowed to cook, one is that you're not allowed to eat, one is that you're not allowed to have benefit from. Okay, that was his source. Rav Ashi does not agree with that. He believes that had that been the only formulation in the Torah text, basar b'chalav would only be prohibited to be cooked. And every time you cook basar b'chalav, you violate three lavim, three prohibitions. So just to get started, before we see any of the explanations of the kernel of the debate, why A couldn't agree with B and B couldn't agree with A, there is in general a debate. Any time the Torah records something on multiple occasions, I'll give you an example. It says, Lo tochal chametz, three times in the Torah. Lo tochal chametz, three times. So why does the Torah have to repeat it three times? So Rabbi Shimon says, I don't know why, but the only thing which the Torah prohibits is eating chametz. When are you now allowed to eat chametz? On Pesach. That's the only time you're not allowed to eat the Pesach. On Pesach itself. All of the other times that you may have heard about, that the Isur of eating chametz starts on Erev Pesach, as we do it, sometime in the late morning, is only midrabanan, says Rabbi Shimon. And that which we're careful not to buy chametz she'avar alav ha-Pesach, not to eat any chametz which was not sold or destroyed. If it's destroyed, you can't eat it. But not sold during Pesach, you're not allowed to eat that ever. That's only midrabanan. Midoraita, lo tochal alav chametz, always refers to not consuming chametz on Pesach. And it's la'avar alav b'shlosh alavim. So that upstairs, should you consume a kezayis of chametz on Pesach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make three X's on your record book. Three X's. So the penalty for eating chametz on Pesach is karet, meaning, we're not sure exactly what karet is, but some type of death implemented by heavenly court, not by a bezdin. So you'll violate that three times. So maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, you know what, if you were scheduled to live 80 years, now that you violated three laws, I'm going to take up 10 years for each time, and you'll live only 50 years. Who knows what happens with karet? But it doesn't include anything else other than what the Torah writes. Don't eat chametz when? On the Yontif of Pesach. Rabbi Yehuda says, that makes no sense to me. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu would repeat something three times just to nail you three times for the exact same action. It doesn't make any sense. And therefore, although it is written that way, he believes that each one of the Lo Tochal Alav Chametz refers to a different time. One is on Pesach, of course, that's the primary. One is Erev Pesach, Midoraita beginning at Chatzot. Midday on Erev Pesach, one is already not permitted to consume chametz. The Rabbanan added another 2 hours just to make sure that you don't eat it after Chatzot, because don't forget, they didn't have your watches, phones, and everything else. You had to rely on the position of the sun relative in the sky as to when midday is. But if it's a cloudy day, you're not going to be able to tell. So in order to make sure that you don't violate chametz, they started it 2 hours before, 4 hours into the day. And the second time, the third time, is that you're not allowed to eat midoraita chametz she'avar alav ha-Pesach. So you have a fundamental debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, who are Tanaim, as to why does the Torah repeat several, not many, but several prohibitions multiple times. Rabbi Shimon believes it always means the exact same thing, just the way you understand the simple reading of the text. The multiplicity of times is to teach you that you will transgress it multiple times for doing the same action. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that makes no sense to me. Every time there is a multiple recording of a prohibition, you have the right / the obligation to darshan it and include other situations aside from its primary use. So here, Rav Ashi doesn't want to agree with the Bei Rabbi Yishmael, so Rav Ashi is going to be agreeing with Rabbi Shimon. That I believe that Lo Tevashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo, had that been the only pasuk, I would only prohibit cooking basar b'chalav three times. And if you cook basar b'chalav, under those circumstances, you violated three X's on your book. But eating is permitted, and selling it is permitted. That's what Rav Ashi would say. but he has another source to generate the halakha, which we will learn tonight. But that's important to know at the very outset. How do we treat a prohibition in the Torah that is written multiple times? And that's a fundamental machloikis between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. So here the Gemara is assuming that Rav Ashi agrees with Rabbi Shimon, and under those circumstances, we would say that the only time you're not allowed to do it, basar v'chalav, is cook it. That's it. And the Torah told you three times, don't cook it. It happens to make this reading of it, although it doesn't make a lot of sense why the Torah would have to prohibit it three times, the reading that the only thing that would be prohibited is cooking makes a lot of sense according to the Rambam in Mora Nevuchim. The Rambam, in his Guide to the Perplexed, writes, why did the Torah prohibit meat and milk? Because it was an idolatrous practice. That they used to take the calf, or the goat, the gedi, and cook it in its mother's milk as a sacrificial act. That was pagan practice. And the Rambam understands dozens of prohibitions in the Torah as being linked to paganism. Linked. So if that is indeed the source of it, I would understand why the Torah only prohibited cooking. Because the nature of the pagan ritual was not to eat it. The nature of the pagan ritual was not to sell it or derive any other benefit from it. It was to cook. That when they cooked it, that was part of its offering to the unique God, which they did. So I can understand why the Torah would prohibit it more than once, because it's a form of avodah zarah. And the Rambam has many such explanations in his Guide to the Perplexed in Mayrin Avucha. The fact that a male is not permitted to cut his peyot is pagan ritual, says the Rambam. Pagan priests used to take a bowl and put it over their head and take a razor and just cut a line around it. That's how they used to cut off their peyot. It was part of the dress of pagan kohanim, of pagan priests. And the Rambam has lots of things like that. Lots of things. But, so, I could hear it.
Philosophically, that's saying that a lot of our halachot are a reaction, to, not intrinsically for our benefit, but a reaction for us not to be pagan.
That is the argument which the Ramban launched against the Rambam when the Rambam said that's why God allowed sacrifices.
Right.
The Rambam says that sacrifice, the whole Sefer Vayikra, is an accommodation to Am Yisrael. They had lived amongst idolaters for 210 years, and they could not elevate themselves to what? To prayer. They couldn't. So God had to wean them away from it slowly. So he allowed them to engage in essentially a pagan practice, because they sacrificed animals as well. All you had to do is follow his, God's instructions about each korban. So once you follow his instruction, I'll let you do it. The minute you deviate and don't follow the instruction, that's avodah zarah already. And that's why Nadav and Avihu died. Because they weren't told to bring Ketoret into the Beit HaMikdash at that time. So that's how Rambam says it. And the Ramban, in a very strong, almost nasty attack, and it's very unusual for the Ramban to do that again. He had enormous respect for the Rambam. Enormous respect. But yet on this he says, you mean to tell me that our entire institution of the Beit HaMikdash for 800 years and the Mishkan before it is only an accommodation because Am Yisrael couldn't wean itself away from sacrifices, and he creates the impression that now that we have been intellectually superior and have engaged in prayer, what will there be no necessity for ever again?
Korbanot.
That's the impression that the Rambam generates. And the Ramban can't tolerate that. And he lets him have it. there are members of Am Yisrael who believe that. And the entire conservative and reform liturgy of Tfilat Musaf is in the past tense. Not Visham Na'ase Lefanecha et Korban Ot Zeinu, Shesham Asu Lefanecha et Korban Ot Chavanetenu. They did it then, we're not going to do it again. I'm going to shut off the tape recorder. I wouldn't be so shocked. I wouldn't be so displeased if we never went back to it. Okay, and I'm sure there are lots of Jews like that. But anyhow, I can understand why the Torah, if that is the case, why the Torah would prohibit it three times. Because Avodah Zarah was something that was unusually attractive for Am Yisrael. 91 times the Gaon counted. The Torah has a warning against Avodah Zarah in Dvarim alone. 91 times. Moshe Rabbeinu is very afraid that they have, as he gives his farewell address, that's all of Sefer Dvarim, he is very afraid that they're going to return to Avodah Zarah.
With good reason.
And they did. They did. It was something that you and me cannot understand its attraction. You cannot. In fact, the Gemara tells us that one of the great Amoraic sages, Abaye, had a dream that Menashe, Melech Yisrael, Menashe was king of Israel for 51 years, the greatest idolater in Jewish history, came to Abaye in a dream, and Abaye asked him, are you crazy? To be attracted to Eitz Va'Evan, Ma'aseh Yadei Adam, Pelahem V'lo Yidaberu, Einayahem V'lo Yiru, Aznayim Lem V'lo Yishmo, are you crazy? And Menashe said to Abaye, if you would have been living in my generation, you would kiss the tochus of every single Avodah Zarah. That's what Abaye, that's what Menashe does. You just don't understand it. So I would understand it, according to the Rambam, why the Torah would repeat it three times. But let's see how Rav Ashi now establishes the prohibition of eating and Hana'ah without usage of Lo Tivashel three times. Yes?
When something's repeated three times, wouldn't it ostensibly say that it's chamor, it's really much more like, and two examples of Avodah Zarah and of chametz are where we take it very seriously, which is different than cooking milk and meat. It's not that we don't consider it a prohibition, we do, but it doesn't have the same.
It's like the basis of our, one of the bases of our kashrut observance. Not to mix milk and meat. I would say it's the same because the punishment is not identical. It's not a death penalty. It's only a lav, lashes. So you'd get, if you cook milk and meat, according to this, Rav Ashi, you'd get 3 times 39, 117 lashes. Because you violated 3 different prohibitions. So you get 39 each time. So if you cook milk and meat, you'd get 117 lashes. It's pretty serious, but it's not on the same. I would agree. It's not on the same level as Avodah Zarah and Chametz. I would agree.
Would that be wrong, why they're thinking that has to be different? It has to be Hana'ah and.
No.
Okay.
Amar Rav Ashi, Minayin Lebasa B'Cholam Shasa B'Achila, Shene Emar, Lo Tochal Kol To'eva. There is a very broad statement in the Torah which states, do not consume anything that is abominable. Lo tochal kol to'eva. Drash. Here comes his reading. Kol sheti'avti lecha. Anything which I, God, determine that a certain action is what? Is an abomination. Hare hu bibal tochal. That is now subsumed under the prohibition of lo tocha. What shall you not eat? Anything that God identified as an abomination. That you're not permitted to eat. So how does that answer the question? How does it answer the question? How do I know that you're not allowed to eat milk and meat? You would think that what has to be written by milk and meat? It has to say that it's a to'eva. It doesn't say to'eva in relationship to what? Milk and meat. It never says that. So take a look at Rashi. Rashi expands upon his drash. It's towards the bottom of the page, on the left-hand side of the page, four lines from the bottom, I bracketed the Rashi. Kol shetiyaftu lecha. Kol she'osarti lecha. Anything, anytime I prohibited something to you, lita'avo, to consider it as if it would be what? An abomination. Ulehit racheik mimenu, and to what? Stay away from it. Harehu bebal tochal. That item is prohibited to be eaten olamit, forever, bechol inyanin shehu, under all circumstances. So, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell us about milk and meat, which makes it a toeva, according to Rashi's explanation?
Can't cook it.
Can't cook it. Well, once God put a restriction that you can't cook it, means he somehow doesn't like basar b'chalav. Otherwise, why would he say not to cook it? So the mere fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu established for us a restriction against cooking it, it now falls into the category of a toeva. Therefore, I now apply the broad sweeping statement of lo tochal kol toeva, that what? That you're not allowed to eat basar b'chalav.
So you didn't need to say it three times because
it doesn't,
takes away that you'd have
it
to
doesn't say
it.
He believes.
Right. That's what I said. So that takes away from that argument.
Exactly. He doesn't need the three times. He can't use the three times because he believes the three times are always only for cooking. So that even strengthens it. God said three times,
right,
don't cook it. He must really not like cooking.
Isn't it also analogous to like cooking on Shabbos? You're not allowed to cook, but does it ever say you can't eat what was cooked on Shabbos? But we can't. Because you, as long as you couldn't cook it.
Good.
So if a non-Jew cooked on
Rav Ashi will say that if you cooked on Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat it because it says...
Or if someone else cooked for you, you're still not allowed to eat it.
We'll see. If a Gentile cooked, he's not under the prohibition of not cooking on Shabbos.
But unless
he's your slave.
But you don't eat food.
We don't. That's at the Rabbanah.
Oh, okay.
We'll see.
But I thought it's a little analogous to
okay,
this.
Okay, I hear.
Because once you can't cook it...
I know.
Yeah.
So Rav Ashi would say, once you're not allowed to cook it, you're not allowed to eat it. If you
right.
cook it, that is
right.
true.
Right.
He would say that.
It's like
that's
an
correct.
Abomination if you
yes.
I don't see that it's so important, though. If you're not allowed to graft, you know, one fruit tree onto another fruit tree, but if someone else did it, you could eat from it.
Good. Rav Ashi. So it would depend on what the Torah tells you to do. Did the Torah say you're not allowed to graft it? If the Torah said that, then Rav Ashi would say you're not allowed to eat it. He would say, indeed, you're not allowed. We don't have to agree with him. Lehalacha, we say that if even if you grafted it, the produce is permissible. That's what we say. The only time that you're not allowed to eat grafted fruit is if it's a grafting with the vineyard, which is called Kla'ei Hakeren. If you mix something with the vine and produce another species, under those or grow them together, then the Torah says you're not allowed to eat. The Torah itself says. Yeah?
I just want to ask Naomi, I don't know why your logic would follow, because I don't think that the grafting is considered a toeva. It's not an idol.
No, but this also doesn't...
This doesn't have to. It doesn't say toeva by basar b'chalav. I threw in... That's what Rambam adds in his perplexing book.
And I'm arguing back, because how do you derive
this? Right. He just says, whenever it says, God told you not to do something, it means God considers that act an abomination. Once it's an abomination, lo tochal kol toeva. You can't eat anything that's an abomination. That's what it means.
But then why does he say toeva about certain things? If it goes for everything,
he's giving koeva is a code word for anything that God has prohibited. Any action with food that
with
God
food,
has
only with food.
Of course, he can't say that you're not allowed to eat, an avodah zarah, a getchka. Can't say that because who eats a getchka, right? Yeah. So that's what he says. Kol shetiavti lecha harehu b'val tocha. Good. That takes care of one prohibition that we don't have a source for. Namely, that eating. What's the next question then?
No.
How about Hanoah? How do I know that I'm not allowed to sell? So here, he says, the Gemara says, "Ein li ela ba'achila behana'a minayin?" Question mark. How do I know that you're not permitted to derive benefit from basar b'chalav? Answers the Gemara, "Kidu Rabbi Avahu." He, Rav Ashi, will subscribe to a famous statement made by Rabbi Avahu. What did Rabbi Avahu say? The Omar Rabbi Avahu, Omar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Avahu said the name of Rabbi Elazar. Kol makom, I told you this once. Kol makom, shine emar, lo yochal, lo sochal, or lo sochelu. If the Torah uses any one of these three expressions, lo tochal, lo yochal, or lo tochelu, echad isur achila, the echad isur hana'a b'mashma. This teaches us that the item discussed in this particular pasuk is prohibited in eating as well as in hana'a. Ad sheyifrot lecha hakatuv, unless the Torah explicitly stipulates that something is asur ba'achila and it is mutar ba'hana'a. The rule is, whenever it says lo yochal, it's asur ba'hana'a, unless the Torah explicitly said so. Where did the Torah explicitly say so? Kiderech sheparat lecha b'nevela. As the Torah explicitly stated by nevela, meat that comes from an animal that died from anything but a kosher shechita. That is nevela. As the Torah says, lager b'nesina ula'ove kochavim b'mechira. Disanya, we learned in a brisa. Lo tochlu kol nevela. Don't eat any nevela. This is a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. What does the Torah tell you? Lager asher bisharecha tit nenova achala. You can give it to a ger who is in your community. You will give it to him and he will eat it. Oh, machul nachri. Or you can sell it to a genta. Now, the editor here changed it. It said, initially was Ove Kochavim. But the Catholics didn't like that we used to call them idolaters. So they made all of the people writing text to change it to Nachri. A non-Jew, that's all it is. But Nachri means that the word Ove Kochavim used to be there. Ove Kochavim. So the Torah itself says you can go ahead and what? And either give it to a ger or sell it to a nachri. Now, ger does not mean a ger tzedek, obviously, a righteous ger, because a ger tzedek has to, how can a ger eat nevela? It means a ger toshav. What is a ger toshav? A ger toshav is a person, a resident of Eretz Yisrael, of Medinat Yisrael, who promises to observe Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, and to pay taxes to Medinat Yisrael. That's the only thing you have to do. Then we will allow a Gentile to take up residence in Israel. They observe the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. So then, I can leave my door open at night. I don't have to lock my door. Because that person is not going to come and steal. Not going to come and kill. So why do I have to lock the door? No Jew is ever going to be a robber, chas v'shalom. And so even this person, Gentile, who observes Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, and he's willing to pay taxes. So that person, I should give my nevela meat. Don't throw it out, but what? Give it to a Gentile. Or sell it to a Jew. Now, sell it to an idolater, an achri, a Gentile who has not necessarily accepted Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. Now, the Gemara is going to spend a lot of time, which it doesn't interest me, tonight at least, it does interest me, but it's not for our discussion. How do I know that I'm allowed to give it to a nachri and sell it to a ger? Because the Torah says, La gera sher tishvayacha titnena. All machur l'nachri, sell it to a Gentile or give it to a geratosha. So, indeed, one opinion is going to be, that's the only way to do it. That's why the Torah wrote it that way. The other opinion is going to be, no, I can reconstruct the pasuk to let you do either to other one. It is not my concern tonight. No, the only, what is the important thing? That if, tell me how Rav Ashi or Rabbi Avo proves from that case, from the fact that the Torah said, I'm allowed to give it to a ger, how do I prove that every other time something is prohibited to be eaten, you're not allowed to derive benefit? Because otherwise the Torah would, why does the Torah have to say it? If it's automatically if it's never prohibited by Hana'ah, if it's never prohibited for Hana'ah, why does the Torah have to say that for the Nevela I should give it or sell it? Inference that the reason why the Torah said it is because all other situations, the item, once it's asur ba'achila, it is asur ba'hana'ah. Yes.
And then also proximity, doesn't it say by Nevela, right after Nevela is one of the times it says Los Abashiyogi?
Yeah, that's one of the times.
So that's its proximity, that it specifies okay. It there.
Could be, that could be, but it could be, but by Basa B'chalaf, he says it's Asur B'hana. Right. Even though it's written the same Pasuk. It's Asur B'hana. Why? Because it's Toeva. And it says, so now, tell me, okay, so he derives the benefit. Tell me what the weakness of Ravashi's opinion is. What's the weakness of Ravashi? In line of what he just said, tell me what the weakness is. Again, I'm going to say the flow. The flow is, I learn out that basa b'chalav is asa b'achila because it's called the toeva. How do I know that it's also asa b'hana? Because whenever something is asa b'achila, it's automatically asa b'hana'a unless the Torah stipulates it.
Because it never
said
it
was
asur for achila.
Exactly! Rabbi Avo doesn't say everything in the world is asur b'achila and is asur b'hana. What does Rabbi Avo say? If what word is used in the Torah? Don't eat. Lo tochal, lo tochelu, lo yochal. Then I stretch it and mean not only to consume it physically, but to consume it in another fashion. That's what Hanala does. You consume it in a different fashion. You make it as a salve. You make some money on it. In all ways, you are consuming the product, not through eating. But by Basa B'chalav, it doesn't say lo tocha. It says lo tivasher. And from there, I derive that it's called a toeva. So, right? It doesn't exactly. That's why there are people who disagree with Rav Ashi. That's one of the reasons. That's one of the weaknesses in his statement. But this is Rav Ashi's opinion. So he, Rav Ashi, disagrees with that which we saw a few minutes ago on the flip side on page 2, which is a blot later on Daf Kuf Tes Vav Amud Beis, in the name of Rabbi Yishmael. He gives the more standard answer. Why is Basa B'chalav Asur B'Achila and Asur B'Hana? Why is it? Because it says Lo Tevasher. And that's why Rabbi Yishmael needs 3 Lo Tevashels. Because the second one only can generate the prohibition not to eat. You can't learn to generate the possibility of not Hana from Lo Tevasher. You can't. Why not? Because it's not Lo Tochal. Right. Only where it says Lo Tochal does Rabbi Avohu say not to eat includes not to have Hana. But Lo Tevashel doesn't mean that. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yishmael, in order to learn all 3 prohibitions, the Torah had to write Lo Tevashel Gediba Halevimo 3 times. 3 times. Mm-hmm. Once not to cook, once not to have Hana, and once not to have, not to eat. Not to eat, and then not to have enough. Good. Good. Now, there are several explanations as to why Rabbi Yishmael didn't like Ravashi's interpretation. Several explanations. Why didn't Rabbi Yishmael say, you know, Ravashi, he's a fine fellow, and he said it said, lo kochal kol to'eva. And to'eva means what? Something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has prohibited because he doesn't like it. And there it says, lo tochal. Why not? So answer number one to this question is based on a principle. Principle. There is a principle when it comes to administering lashes that a pasuk in the Torah has to mean exclusively this item in order to warrant giving you lashes in a bet din for its violation. So I'll give you an illustration. The Torah tells you not to eat treifa. Lo tochal kol treifa. Or kol treifa lo tochel. Does the word treifa include anything else? No. We know what a treifa is. It's an animal that has one of eight physical defects that are enumerated in the third parak of Chulin, which we will not learn. Third parak of Chulin. Fine. Very nice. It has missed this, it's that. It's got physical defects. So if you eat any of those things that are included on the word treifa, it can't include anything else, you get lashes. But if you have a prohibition that now contains multiple prohibitions, that's called a lav shebiklalot, a lav that includes many categories. So the halacha is lav shebiklalot ein lokin aleha. I'm going to give you an illustration. In last week's parsha, we read in Parshat Kedoshim, lo tochal al hadam. Lo, do not eat something on the blood. Lo tochal al hadam. Now the Gemara knows that lo tochal al hadam can't mean not to eat blood. Because if it meant not to eat blood, what should it not have said? It was al. In Parshat Tzav, it already says, kol dam, the kol chelev, lo tochelu. That's the way you talk. And it could have said, lo tochal, kol dam. What is al hadam? Therefore, it doesn't mean not eating blood. Here are some of the halachot that I learned out from lo tochal al hadam. One. After you slaughter an animal, the animal is still quivering. It's still shaking. Until all of the blood comes out, and or the blood that enables it to die. When you shech the animal, it doesn't die instantly. You cut the trachea and the esophagus, and it starts to bleed to death. But while it's bleeding, you already shecht it. So the Torah says, lo tochal al hadam. Even though you shechted it already, I don't want you to eat it while the blood is coming out that ultimately turns this animal from a living creature to a dead creature.
Well, you couldn't eat it anyway, though. It isn't.
Why not?
It wasn't kosher.
So what? I'll take a piece off and eat it without just roasting it. What's tashered me? That I salted it?
Yeah, you have to get the blood out of it.
You don't have to take the blood out if you plan on eating it with roasting. Remember we spoke about that? The only time you have to
roast it. It's not going to be quicker.
I'm going to eat it raw.
But
there is no prohibition in the Torah to eat raw meat after it's been
shechted.
You don't have to kosher it.
The blood is still in it.
You don't have to kosher it.
No, I thought you had to draw.
I know. You don't have to.
But the blood's still in it. And
you're allowed to eat that blood. I told you the key word. Write it down. The only blood that you're not allowed to eat is dam shepiresh. I spoke about this when we spoke about Malik. What does piresh mean? It was removed from its original cavity and then reabsorbed into the meat.
Is that why liver has to be done differently? Okay.
So here is what happens if I take a piece of roast and I put it into a pot. The blood is purged in the water, makes nice gravy, and then as the heat continues to go, it's reabsorbed into the meat. I can't eat that piece of meat because it contains prohibited blood. But if I take a piece of meat and roast it over an open fire, what happens to any of the blood that's coming? It drips in. Doesn't go back. So you're allowed to eat it without salting.
See how far removed we are from
and
injury.
If you are going to start a new trend, not sushi fish, sushi meat, just raw meat, as this animal has been shafted, and its blood is gushing out.
That's a toeva. That is a toeva.
You will now take your knife and slice a piece of meat off the animal and eat it. Says the Torah, I don't want you to do that. How do I know? It's not Eivre Min Achai, because Eivre Min Achai is only before Shechita. It was halachically Nishchat. That's what Shechita does. It takes away the Isur of Eivre Min Achai. So it's no longer Eivre Min Achai. But you're still not allowed to eat it until the animal drops dead. Good. That's one thing that is prohibited. Another thing that is prohibited from this. Lo tochal al adam serves as the hatra'ah for a ben sorer umore. How does the Gemara darshan this? Don't eat when it's eventually going to cost you your life, your blood. What happens to the ben sorer umore? He's addicted to wine or to meat. He's addicted to drugs. But the drug this time happens to be what? Not the drugs, it's meat. That's what he's addicted to. So the Torah tells us that if he consumes X volume of meat, what do? You kill him before he does anything. You kill him. Why do you kill him? Because the Torah knows the pattern of behavior. You're an addict. You can't support your addict. What will you do? You'll rob from your parents in order to support your habit. Then your parents won't have any money. What's going to happen? You're going to rob somebody in the street. And the person's going to say, oh no, I'm not giving you my money. Absolutely. And you're so desperate because you're an addict, you're going to kill them. So the principle of ben sorer umore, it's a difficult principle, is that at times we forfeit our civil rights. Forfeit our rights based on what the Torah projects is going to happen. It's a very difficult principle. It's a
personal
choice.
Can't free be choice. The idea of free choice that just takes.
I grant you that. I grant you that. The Torah is denying him free choice. And the Gemara explains it.
And the idea of tshuva.
Exactly. They know that an addict can't do tshuva. That's what they think. He can't. And he's only, unless you can get him, I don't know, but under normal circumstances, he's going to kill somebody. So in the parsha where ben sorer umore is described, it just says what happens if he doesn't. You can't kill anybody in any bet din unless he violated something in the Torah where the Torah says, no, don't do it. In ben sorer doesn't say don't do it, just says if he does this and if he does that, his parents should bring him to Beis Din, and they should say, "Einenu shomea b'koleinu." We've pleaded with him 50 times to go to rehab, and he doesn't want to go to rehab, and therefore they're going to kill him. Beis Din's going to kill him. Fine. But it doesn't say that the kid's not allowed to eat it. He's not allowed to do this. So the Gemara interprets, "Lo tochal al adam," is ashara for ben sorer umore. Halacha number 3.
Is that only with meat or it's any addiction?
No, if the Torah writes meat and wine, it probably means any addiction. Yes. You're not allowed to eat before you daven in the morning. Lo tochlu kodem shitit palalu al dimchem. Before you pray to God, thank Him for restoring your life, and pray that today should be a healthy day, you're not allowed to eat. You can have a coffee, yes, but you shouldn't sit down to a hearty breakfast before you daven. Lo tochlu kodem shetitpalelu al dimchem. So for any of these things, if you violated them, you don't get lashes. Because the lav of lo tochal al hadam is not reserved for any single activity. It contains five prohibitions. And if it's five prohibitions, it's called a lav shebiklalo. Klal includes lots of things. And any lav shebiklalo ein lo kin alav. This, lo tochal koto eva, is a lav shebiklalo. Tell me why. Because what is it going to prohibit? What are you not allowed to eat?
Anything
which the Torah puts any isur on. Okay. Basar b'chalav, you're not allowed to cook? It's a toeva. This, you're not allowed to plant together? It's a toeva. So you can't eat it. So anything that is prohibited to be eaten because it's subsumed under lo tochal kol toeva, you don't get lashes from it. That's why Rab Yishmael doesn't want to use Rav Ashi's drash. I believe that for eating basar b'chalav, you should get lashes. I believe that you're out of lashes. Well, quoting Rav Ashi's opinion, hanging it on the sign which says lo tochal kol toeva, you can't administer lashes for that because it is a lav shebiklalot. That's answer number one. Why Rav Yishmael, the Bei Rav Yishmael, our well-known fellow, because it says lo tabasho three times, doesn't like Rav Ashi. Example number two. I can create a scenario whereby if milk and meat were cooked together, and undoubtedly it will not be considered a to'eva in God's eyes. I can create such a scenario. One, a doctor says, in order to save this person's life, he must have a cheese biter. He must. So the burger's raw. I'm going to take American cheese or mozzarella, whatever kind of cheese you like. Put it on my burger and cook it for this person who the doctor said must eat basar b'chalav. Will that be called a toeva? Of course not. Of course, because Tova said, that's what Tova said that the patient should eat. So it can't be a toeva. And nonetheless, so under those circumstances, you have a situation whereby something is not called a toeva based on your act of cooking. So now, here I'm going to have the following situation. After the patient eats his burger, he didn't want to eat the whole burger. Because he was sick. Didn't want to eat. So the leftover, I should be able to eat it. Why should I be able to eat it? Because when it was cooked, it was not a toeva.
No, but it could be a toeva for somebody in particular.
Hold on. But that's what the argument is using. When you cook something, it's you can't change the status. Mm-hmm. You can't say that this is an abomination for A and that's not an abomination for B. Yeah. Either it's an abomination or it's not an abomination. Or, for example, another type of case, a minor cooked it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't consider anything that a minor does as an abomination. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows a minor is not held accountable for his actions. So God is not talking to a five-year-old kid, hey, lo tochal kol toeva. It's not a toeva for him. So then, that'll be my route to eating cheeseburgers. Tell my five-year-old to cook it for me. It won't be a toeva, and it won't be prohibited. So how does Rabbi Yishmael make sure that if my five-year-old kid or a doctor ordered a cheeseburger, that the patient can eat it, but I'm not allowed to eat it? How does he know? Because it says, lo tabashel, yidi bachalei bimo, three times. That's a second reason why Rabbi Yishmael did not like the limud of Rav Ashi. In case you will create a situation where it's not a toeva. So if it's not a toeva, under those circumstances, it should not be prohibited. And that's actually, and I'm not going to read it inside, page 3, the placey. I want to give you another one. Not reading it inside, it's only for homework, okay? In case you're not going to watch the Yankee game, which of course you will. When you get home. Example number three. How much do you have to eat in order to violate the law of any eating prohibition?
Kezayit.
Correct, kezayit. So there is an enormous debate in the Talmud about chatzi shiur. If somebody violates any biblical prohibition which has a shiur, is chatzi shiur asur min haTorah or mutar min haTorah?
Asur, but you don't get the punishment.
That's Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that chatzi shiur is biblically prohibited, but you don't get the punishment. That's the only difference. His co-compadre, who he used to argue with, his brother-in-law and student, Reish Lakish, says no. Midda oraita chatzi shiur is permissible. Midda oraita chatzi shiur is permissible. The Rabbanan said, don't eat a chatzi shiur. You know why?
Because it would lead
to... Because if you ate a chatzi shiur, 2 minutes later, you can eat another chatzi shiur, right. And then what happened?
The whole cheeseburger.
You'll eat the whole cheeseburger.
Big marasinos.
Correct. So now, tell me what Rabbi Akiva Eiger is going to say, another reason why Rabbi Yishmael doesn't want to agree with Rabbi Yishmael, with him. If it says, lo tochal ko toeva, and I cook a half a kezias of a cheeseburger, is that toeva?
Yes.
No.
Yeah. If I hold chatzi shiur is mutar min haTorah.
No, but if it's a toeva, any...
Because it says, lo tochal. Ein achila pachot mikizai. Whenever the Torah uses the word achila, either as a mitzvah or as an aveira, you know for a fact it refers to a kezayit. So in order to get credit for eating matzah, you have to eat a kezayit of matzah, because it says be'erev tochlu matzah. In order to get lashes for, or to prohibit, eating nevela meat, you got to eat a kezayit of nevela. But according to the opinion that says, chatzi shiur is mutar min haTorah, it's only a derabbanan, then I am permitted to go ahead mido oraita and what? Cook a half a kezias of a cheeseburger and eat it. Mido oraita, I'm allowed to eat it. And Rabbi Shmuel.
Wait, are you allowed to cook it though?
Yes, because it's also...
You're not allowed to cook it. That's on a kezias. For cooking it is permitted.
Okay, good. You might be right. Therefore, says Rabbi Yishmael, I would rather have the pasuk of lo tivashel 3 times to teach me that you're not allowed to eat it. Because does the Torah say you're not allowed to eat it?
No.
No. The Torah says you're not allowed to cook it. And the Torah doesn't prohibit necessarily how much?
Kezayin.
So cooking or eating or selling less than a kezayit of basar v'chalav would be prohibited if the source of our prohibition is what? Is what? Lo tivashel, lo tivashel, lo tivashel. But if it's lo tochal kol toeva, the way my friend Ravashi says, I'm creating
a lot of loopholes,
which I'm going to close exactly. A fourth answer. In order for something to be prohibited based on achila, you have to eat it in the normal way it's eaten. So how do you eat a cheeseburger? With your mouth, and you eat it, and you pick it up and take a bite. If I take a cheeseburger and put it into a blender, and I drink it, I don't violate the law of eating. I don't want. Let's say trefa. I don't violate the law of eating trefa meat if I blend it into a blender and I drink the whole thing down. Because that's not the way people eat meat. They eat it. They don't drink it. Or if I make it burning hot. Burning hot. It's scalding. People don't eat something when it's scalding.
Lip bops do.
If I do, I'm not going to get lashes. Because that's shelo kiderech achila. Anytime the Torah prohibits something based on saying lo tochal, it has to be violated in the normal manner in which something is eaten. So if it's spoiled, let's assume I left out a cheeseburger for 5 days and it's rotten and I eat it, I will not get lashes because most people don't eat rotten meat. It's dangerous. What?
Food poisoning.
Yeah, you don't eat it. Says Rabbi Shmuel, if I relied on Ravashi of Lo Tochal Kol Toeva, you'd be able to go ahead and eat a cheeseburger by putting it into your blender. Because it says Lo Tochal. Therefore, I, Rabbi Shmuel, like Lo Tevasher, Lo Tevasher, Lo Tevasher. Because it doesn't say lo tochal. So lo tevashel, you can violate eating and hana'ah, even it's shelo kiderech achilata. Even if you put it into a blender, even if you are, it was boiling hot, who cares? In all circumstances, I want to keep you away from basa b'chala. I want to keep you away for less than the shear. I want to keep you away from eating it in an unusual fashion. I want you to stay away from basa b'chala. Therefore, I can't rely on my good friend Ravashi, lo tochal. Because the use of lo tochal has its restrictions and limitations.
So he's saying basa b'chala is, you have to be more stringent than trefa.
Correct. Correct. You have to be. Maybe because it has idolatrous roots, it would make a lot of sense. That if it has, you know, a shmecht for avodah zarah, like the Rambam says, a shmecht for avodah zarah, that's why I should perhaps be a little more careful. That's correct. But even if it's not the reason, the answer is yes. I have to be stricter about basa b'chala than I have to about taravis. That's correct. That is correct. And just as an aside, what you touch is the following point. Let's assume a doctor says this patient needs some meat. Needs some meat. Am I allowed to cook basa b'chala and give this patient something to eat?
Yes.
The doctor said he has that meat.
You could just do the basa.
Okay. So now I'm going to show you a clear difference. Some say that you always have to look for the least violations when the doctor says eat, the least violation. So here's going to be the great case. I have non-kosher meat sitting right here, and the patient says, I want kosher meat, and it's Shabbos. What should I do? Should I shech the animal on Shabbos to give him kosher meat? And then Mimchal Shabbos, or eat trefa meat. So one opinion is that the Isur of Shabbos, whenever there is a life and death situation, the Isur of Shabbos still is there, and you have to factor it. So what do? You try doing the least violation of Shabbos possible. So what would be the least violation? Giving him trefa meat. That's not nearly as serious as being Mimchal Shabbos. There is another opinion that says that once you have pikuach nefesh, once you have a life-threatening situation, I'm going to give you the Rambam's lasha. Harei hu kichol lechol advarim. It's like a weekday. Now, if it would be a weekday and the patient has time, what would I ever consider giving him non-kosher meat? If it didn't, of course, and I'll get him kosher meat. So on Shabbos, you're allowed to go ahead and chef. So that question, your question would be this, according to the first opinion, If I had a choice to give him treifa or basa b'chalav, you're right, I have to give him treifa. Even though the basa b'chalav is right there, go get some treifa meat. Because treifa is a less severe offense than what? The basa b'chalav. I grant you that. So it does, yes, it does weigh out. But because of these restrictions of prohibition based on lo tochal, which do not exist based on lo tivashel, that's why Rabbi Shmuel says, I would rather have my three times lo tivashel to prohibit eating than to subsume it under lo tochal kol to'eva. Okay? Stop here and continue. Has to be Tuesday next week. I have two things next Wednesday. I'm sorry, but it's got to be Tuesday night.
You once gave a shear. Of course, I can't remember. Remember, chatzi shear, chatzi shear.